Tonight's Big Brother Sunday Night Recap is sponsored by LegalZoom. Now, you shouldn't have to have won Big Brother to be able to afford to get advice or legal help, but the legal system is complicated. So what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Well, you could start with LegalZoom because they make it easy, because for more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people to confidently navigate the legal system. Now, LegalZoom's not a law firm. That's how they provide such great value, and they don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you get transparent pricing and customer reviews, so you know exactly what you're getting up front. And if you need help with incorporating, forming an LLC, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom is the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states, even Rado. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com to start building your future the right way. To save even more, enter Rob in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to nerdmance with you all one last time on a Sunday night during this Big Brother season. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Big Brother recap. Believe it or not, episode 39 in the books. 39 episodes, 17 people, one winner to be crowned this Wednesday night. We are so hashtag blessed to be at this point. And here with me, the guy that I will nerdmance with tonight, the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. This is the last Sunday episode recap, even though it wasn't really an episode. So we're really going out on a bang here.
Yeah, we are on a Sunday night.
Yeah, hope everyone enjoys it.
So here's what we're going to do here tonight, because again, not a lot going on in the episode, but usually I do the weekly feedback / voicemail show. I don't think there's enough happening in the house right now to do that podcast. So I really want to take a lot of questions from you guys. So hopefully all you guys that are watching live have a lot of questions about the episode, about the season as a whole, about what we're looking at as we head towards Wednesday. We'll try to keep it spoiler free, at least in the first half, in terms of the final HOH competition, but we will update all of that here as well in this episode. But we want to get a lot of questions in from you guys tonight. So hashtag RHAP, also on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. This is going to be a very busy week here on the podcast. We got a lot of stuff coming up. First, over the weekend, yesterday, I had the great Mike Boogie was here, Taryn.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, Boogie was here, and I spoke to him. That interview is up on robhasawebsite.com. We also are working on one more Big Brother podcast between now and Wednesday, and once that becomes locked, I will give you guys some more information on that, potentially on Tuesday, maybe live, so I will keep you guys posted as to that. But the one thing that is a sure thing in the books is this Wednesday night we'll be covering the Big Brother 17 finale. That's going to be at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, if you can be there live, because we're going to be having coverage of the Survivor Cambodia premiere coming up, Survivor 31. That's going to be at 9:45 Eastern time. So Survivor at 9:45 Eastern, then Big Brother at 12:30. And I'll also talk to the final three coming up on Thursday as well. So a lot to do as we start to really put this Big Brother season down forever. Sad.
Very sad.
Sad story. All right, Taryn, how are you doing? How's your weekend?
It was good. I mean, I've had a lot of free time.
Yeah. It's getting a little slow on the live feeds.
I don't want to say slow, but there's nothing happening.
Yeah. All right. So we will talk about that. It's a little bit, we touched on that with Boogie when he was talking about when it was used to be just two people in the house during the end. Do you feel like with keeping that for the final three, is that at all for the feedsters just to try to have a little more excitement going on with that those last couple days?
No, it's not exciting anyway. The only reason they do it is for the live show, and nobody cares about the live show anyway. They should just go back to the other format and have the nice long jury questioning. Everyone wants that. Just do it.
Just do it. Okay.
Just do it.
All right. So tonight we saw in the episode not a lot of new information. The one real piece that we saw was this conversation between Steve and Vanessa as to if she has a final two. And it was just pretty much very typical Steve and Vanessa conversation, right?
Pretty much. I mean, their whole relationship all game has been Vanessa working Steve and Steve just kind of going along with it because it benefits him, but at the same time, not trusting Vanessa really at all.
I mean, that one point in the conversation when he asked her about the deal that she had with Liz, she was like, oh my God, I don't have a, like, why would you even say that I have a deal with, I would never make a deal with, I don't have a deal with her. And then he asked her like a different way. And she's like, well, that's between me and her because I that's private. I don't want to talk about that. Like, well, that's a bad sign, right? When the person in your alliance tells you that a conversation is private and they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, it happens a lot to Steve, actually. Johnny Mac did that to Steve, too. Steve knew exactly how to get that information out of her. Because he knows that she works with incentives. And he said, obviously, if you're playing correctly, you would have gotten something out of voting to keep Liz. And Vanessa couldn't deny it.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
But, I mean, you would like to see that, like, okay, well, why is that private? Why can't you tell me? It seems like that's private should not be like not even in Big Brother. A lot of times my wife will ask me a question if I tried to say, oh, honey, I'm sorry. That's confidential. I can't tell you about that. Like, that would not work.
Well, that's a shame, you know? Well, I mean, I think in this case, it's kind of implied. Like, what is she going to say that Liz told her, not only am I going to take you to the final two, but I'll also, you know, murder Steve and tell everyone that you should vote for Vanessa. I don't know. Steve knew what she was talking about when she said it was private.
Yeah.
In other situations, like when Johnny Mac told him that his deal with Austin was private, in that one, he should have maybe been a bit like, but Johnny Mac.
Yeah.
We're aligned.
We need to update whatever our official Big Brother handbook is. If a person tells you that a conversation is private and or somebody tells you that they can't tell you something, then that usually means it's bad news, right?
Yeah, and it's something that happens a lot with Vanessa and Steve. They've kind of been flirting around this all season where Vanessa kind of wants to tell Steve something, but she'll be like, not yet, not yet. I'll tell you later because I don't want to put it in your head yet. And Steve will be like, oh, no, tell me, and vice versa. And it's this interesting game they play because Vanessa, you know, knows that she shouldn't give information unless she has to. And Steve knows that he can't trust Vanessa with information. So they're trying to, you know, give each other enough information to make each other trust each other. And then at the same time, they're saying, I don't want to give you everything that I have right now because I don't trust you.
Yeah. So for Steve, do you feel like that it's 100% that he doesn't trust? Like he's completely sees through everything that she's saying?
For the most part, I think Steve probably believes that Vanessa will take him to the final two. I think he questions that a little bit, but for the most part, for most of the game, Steve hasn't trusted Vanessa. He knows that if it suits her, she will take him out in a heartbeat. What he trusts is his read on her and where she reads her position in the house, which usually meant keeping him around.
Have you had any major complaints with how Steve has dealt with this, you know, final three scenario? Not getting too far into the live feeds, but do you feel like Steve is doing a good job with this, or do you feel like there's a lot of room to be desired?
Well, I feel like there's not a lot you can do before at least the part one and part two, because you don't know who's going to be competing. You don't want to waste time making a deal with somebody who might not even be there in part three. And then having that blow up in your face, like maybe he tries to make a deal with Liz and then Liz goes right and tells Vanessa because Liz wants to take Vanessa anyway. And now, you know, Steve's in the doghouse with Vanessa. So you kind of have to wait.
Steven Fishback in Survivor Token Sheens.
Yeah, right.
And then Aaron blew it up with JT and JT was like pretending like, Steven, how could you do this to me? I thought you were my friend.
Oh, poor Steven. That final two is just, oh man.
and seems like
I'm sorry. I mean,
yeah.
Let's hope he can redeem himself this season.
We'll see. All right. So then we went into, what did they have? Sort of like, not champagne. They had almost like a day 39 breakfast. Speaking of JT and Steven.
I guess so. They did have some alcohol because they were, remember, they were toasting and Steve had,
they
had like a
mimosa. It looked like they had like French toast, right?
I wasn't really paying attention to the food.
It was French toast there.
I guess so.
And really, not a ton of new footage here in this. I feel like in seasons past, we had more new footage. Do you feel like, am I reading this correctly?
I don't know. There's usually not a whole lot of new footage there. I mean, I feel like a lot of this new footage was kind of in addition to stuff we had already seen, kind of like tagged on to the end of, like, we got some extra bits of stuff like James pranking and all that stuff, whereas in previous seasons we might have gotten, you know, some original content.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this episode's usually just it's like 2 minutes of new content.
I have to say that I felt like this one was particularly uninteresting to me. I feel like in the past that they're not always this rough, but I felt like this one was kind of a slog to get through.
Yeah, I mean, this is usually an episode I kind of don't pay full attention to, and this is probably my first time ever really, really paying attention to it because I knew I was going to be on the podcast. So I mean, I thought it was pretty bad, but I've always thought it was pretty bad. So
yeah. Let me just go through the things we hit on, and then I want to know from you if there was anything that you feel like they missed. We talked about the twin stuff. Did a big segment on that.
Yeah.
Did a segment on Vanessa and all her confrontations.
Yeah, I feel like one of the best ones was her and Johnny Mac, and then her and Steve, too. Mm-hmm. I feel like those are two of the best ones, and they kind of, I mean, I guess those don't show her in a favorable light, and if she's going to be a winner the next episode, then they don't want to do that, but I thought those are better.
Yeah, it did seem like they were trying to, like, oh, Vanessa is such good TV.
Yeah, that did feel
the was Vanessa is good TV package, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the
does everybody want good TV?
Then you like Vanessa. That's right. Yeah. Then we had a bit about Liz Tin.
Yeah.
What was going on there? A bit on the Meg and James showmance.
Yeah, a lot of James in this episode.
Yeah, boy.
I feel like they were really pushing a James edit here.
Pushing the buttons for America's favorite player.
Absolutely. I feel like they probably feel like they want a tight race between him and Johnny Mac, and they know that James has been out for a while, so they probably felt like, let's throw James a bone and give him a big edit in this clip show.
The campaign is real. We had a little bit about the nerdmance between Johnny Mac and Steve, which was a bit of seemingly new footage, right?
Yeah, that was at least, you know, even if it wasn't new stuff, it was a kind of a new angle on it that we hadn't seen in the show, at least, which is interesting, you know, considering some of the rumors regarding, you know, Steve, and I don't want to get too into that because they're just rumors, but, you know, it was an interesting edit for sure.
I felt like it was surprising that we didn't have a bigger Johnny Mac package, considering he's one of the more popular house guests this season. I'm surprised we didn't get like a, boy, that Johnny Mac was really a character. Remember those days that he lived here in the house and all the things that he would do? Do you think he's really a dentist? And then I'm really surprised we didn't get like a bigger package on Johnny Mac, the Mac.
Yeah, I felt that way too. Cause after we saw some James segments, I was like, all right, so they're probably going to balance it out with some nice, funny Johnny Mac stuff. But, you know, maybe they were thinking, we just lost Johnny Mac. We don't want to, you know, bring up that pain again.
Pain? What, for the viewers?
The pain of losing Johnny Mac, which I feel like a lot of viewers felt that pain. Johnny Mac was a favorite. And then also, I feel like, you know, James is probably, he's kind of like a safer mascot for the season than Johnny Mac was.
Yeah. We also had a Clelly segment.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And then we did Becky gets hit by a train.
Yeah, I feel like they had to do that. I mean, they missed the Victoria Crow story last year, so at least they they got this, the train story, this one.
And then we also got the Clay Mumbles Redux. We rehashed that.
Yeah, that was one of the better segments this season, so.
And then we did a big Audrey package.
Yeah, you know, I think it was a good package. I think they portrayed it well, but I didn't think that Audrey being transgender was the most interesting thing about her. I feel like there could have been a more fun Audrey edit, you know, about her in the game and what she did instead of, you know, what she represented. Maybe you could do both, but, you know, I would have liked to see the real Audrey that we saw in the house.
Yeah. I 130% agree with that.
130%.
Because with the whole Audrey thing, it was like, okay, she came into the house and transgender. And really after the first night, you really never heard a thing about it until it was eviction night. And then there was quite a bit of that in that episode. But the whole rest of the time was just Audrey being Audrey.
Yeah, exactly. And that was what made her so fun to watch.
Yeah.
I feel like we should have reminded people of that because, you know, that should have been her legacy on the season, I feel like.
We also had a bit about the Wax Street Boys, who knew that the actual Wax Street Boys was going to be such a big deal this season.
Yeah, two of them made it to the final four.
Good for the Wax Street Boys. Yeah. Then we had the Diary Room package. And do you believe Vanessa had the audacity to tell the final three about how she's been keeping it real in the diary room all season? Like, I don't know about you guys, but I've been keeping it real the whole season.
Yeah, I feel like if I was surprised at the lack of reaction I saw on Twitter, but it was probably just because people weren't watching the episode.
There's a lot going on tonight between Emmys, Sunday Night Football, Mets Yankees, and there's a lot of stuff going on tonight. It's a busy Sunday night.
Yeah, and I mean, as soon as she made that comment, I was just like, okay, this is going to be something that people are going to latch on to, I think.
Yeah, it really could. Do you believe she had the audacity to say that?
Yeah, to be fair, she meant it in a different context, but definitely not a great choice of words.
Like, I have no doubt she was crying in the diary room.
Yeah.
Like, I have no doubt that she was bawling her eyes out in the diary room.
And okay, I also want to say about the diary room segment, like where have these diary rooms been all season long? This is what I personally, and I know a lot of other people, have wanted to see in Big Brother for, you know, the past, I don't know, 8-9 seasons now. Like, the diary rooms have been so, you know, one-liner, scripted, let's do a pun, their little sound bites, let's recap a challenge. These diary rooms felt like they were entertaining. This is what I've wanted to see all season long. Hopefully there's a good response to them. And, you know, somebody at Big Brother is like, maybe we should incorporate this a little more into next season. Probably not, but oh, man.
What did you like, that they were more like stream of consciousness at certain points?
Exactly. It was just them kind of talking. They weren't afraid to leave in stuff about, like, Shelly saying, you know, oh, I know you guys are trying to put it on a TV show, but I'm doing this here. And, you know, it felt real. Like, it wasn't just, you know, they've clearly said it a couple times now. They're gonna, you know, have certain gestures and give a wink to the camera at the end. It harkens back to, you know, days of Big Brother 3, where, you know, Josh is like laying upside down in the chair holding the iguana or whatever it was. You know, those were so much better and so much more entertaining to me, at least. And I think a lot of people agree with.
Yeah, what did you think about Steve, like, walking around pacing? Like, what was he saying? Like, I just lost the game. I shouldn't have done it. I didn't want this.
Yeah. And then he throws the key, and then he's like, oh, what?
Yeah. What was this, when he won the HOH?
I believe it was the double eviction HOH that he won, where he put up Jackie and Meg.
Okay, and then he did a diary room in between then?
Like right after the double eviction ended, I think he went. I think we saw some of that in the episode after, because he was trying to throw it. He tried to throw it for like three questions and he accidentally got them all right.
Yeah, just felt like he wasn't talking in the past tense.
Yeah, well, maybe they did.
Well,
call
I guess
him
he
in
technically
quickly.
Was the HOH after the episode, and that was at the HOH room key.
Yeah, I think it was that he threw.
Okay,
it was hard to tell.
He did as good of a job throwing the key around as he did throwing the competition.
Yeah. One thing about Steve, in the previous Rob Has a Podcast on, what was it, Wednesday? Or I don't know. you guys talked about how Steve threw the Final Four veto.
Yes.
I just want to clarify something. I don't know for sure which way it was, but my read on it was that Steve did not throw the veto. It was that he felt as though he didn't go into it with a mindset of, I have to win this. And so because he had that mindset, he felt really guilty and he felt like, oh, if I went in with a different mindset, I could have won. Therefore, like, I really messed this up. I threw this, like, I really blew this competition.
So he was upset with his approach, that he felt he didn't come into it with like the win or go home mentality. And so he was upset with his preparation.
That was my read on it. I can't say for sure. But that was my read on it, because he was saying, you know, the thing that Austin said about Vanessa not being able to win the game kind of got in his head. He was like, well, maybe I don't need to take Vanessa out here. This isn't a life or death situation. And he mentioned that in his diary room too, where he said, if I felt like my life was on the line, maybe I could have won this. And I feel like that's where his head was at. I could be wrong, but that, I just want to point out that there is another, you know, possibility for what happened.
Yeah. You know, you feel for Steve. He's a nice kid, I'm sure. And, you know, he's had a tough summer.
He has.
He really has.
Yeah.
He really has. And, you know, I hope he's able to sort of just detox a little bit and sort of just like get right after all this. It's been a traumatic summer for Steve.
Definitely has. I mean, right from the get-go, that, you know, that conversation with Jace week one.
Yeah.
That was just the perfect starting point for Steve's game.
A long 95 days. A lot of Jace in the diary room segment.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they got some good stuff out of him before he left.
Yeah. And also in that diary room segment, what was the Jason comment about Vanessa? She says, scumbag bitch.
Yeah. Something like that. It was that. And then also like genuine crying about like how Big Brother is his life. And it was perfect combat. That's Jason. It perfectly fits Jason.
We also saw the Liz and Austin food fight, which was recently. I guess this was like last week. Did that play out on the feeds?
Yeah, it did. It was very recent. shortly before Austin left, I think.
Yeah. Were you surprised that Austin called Liz a bitch?
It came out of nowhere. Like,
that's very, like, he called her that to her face, not even like in the diary room.
You'd think, you know, being a fan of Big Brother, he'd know better than to use that kind of language. In, you know, directly to someone. I mean, that was just very poor decision making.
Yeah, no, I really did not think that was the right move to be making on national television and to your quote unquote official girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he didn't even back down. Like he doubled down on it. He wasn't like, oh, I'm sorry, I misspoke. He was like, no, you are a bitch.
Yeah. And not even like, no, you're being a bitch right now. Like, you are. It's not you are. It's not a simile. You are not like a bitch. You are a bitch, Liz. I mean, that was, I'm surprised that, you know, that did not get a bigger uproar.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like both him and Vanessa kind of probably lucked out that a lot of people weren't watching this episode.
Yeah. And then they started throwing the food around. Austin, don't insult his chicken. Damn.
It's funny because it's the second time they've had problems with chicken.
Yeah.
It's the first time when he made the chicken shaped, the heart shaped chicken, and he brought it to Liz and she turned it down.
Yeah.
That's always going to be an issue as long as you're together.
What do you think it's going to be like when Liz and Austin are reunited on Wednesday night? Do you think it's going to be like she's going to run into his arms and then he'll carry her out of the house?
That might be their initial reaction. I feel like they're probably going to pretty quickly have an argument about Vanessa. Because Austin is going to be very, very like, Vanessa's such a scumbag. What a terrible person that she was. And Liz is going to be like, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't that bad. And then that's going to piss off Austin off even more.
Yeah. And what's the plan for these? Are these guys all going to Vegas?
Not all of them.
Do they still do that?
Austin definitely. I mean, that's all Austin ever talked about, like the Vegas party.
And Vanessa lives there, right?
Right. And Rachel Riley's party, Austin talked about that a lot. I don't know. I don't know how true it is, but he's very excited for that. I don't think all of them are going, though.
But it's still a thing. They still do that.
Well, in Austin's mind, it is. I'm not like up on the alumni plans necessarily, but Austin's definitely under the assumption that it's.
So I feel like that used to be a bigger deal. I feel like they used to hear about it more and more and more. And I kind of feel like it's really started to. And correct me if I'm wrong in the chat room or anything like that. Because I usually
I
am.
I do think it was a pretty big thing in Big Brother 15. I remember seeing a lot of stuff about the partying after Big Brother 15. And then I feel like last season it wasn't the right cast for that kind of thing. They weren't really like a party cast.
Yeah, they had better parties to go to. All right. And then so finally, we got down to the start of the competition, which we'll talk about in a little bit, about the endurance comp. And what was it? It was like apples being dipped in chocolate?
So, yeah, something like that. I mean, it
seemed like a lot of mixed metaphors here of like apples dipping in chocolate with popcorn.
Yeah, when it came up on the feeds, the first thing we saw was just them holding onto a rope with a red ball underneath, dipped into this like red sauce, and then being slammed into somebody's mouth. And it was very confusing before you kind of realize, okay, it's a candy apple. Maybe they're being dipped into like some caramel
candy
or something.
Candy apple, so it's sort of like a autumnal theme.
It looked like some sort of carnival kind of thing. they've had some weird themes this season.
Okay, sure, we'll go with that. And so we'll talk about that when we get to spoilers. All right, let's open this up and let's get to some of your questions, because again, no feedback show this week. So this is it. This is your shot to ask us some questions as Taryn and I enjoy some French toast and reminisce about the season that was. We did a show after every episode this season. I don't think there was one where we took a night off or anything like that. So we've been 39 for 39.
Yeah, on top of it.
Yeah. The long summer, Kyle says. Vanessa is using the Sarah from Big Brother Canada 3 strategy to win. Worked north of the border, should work south of it. Do you see any similarities between Vanessa and what Sarah Hanlon did in Big Brother Canada 3?
No, not really. I mean, they're both intelligent women.
Both emotional.
Their strategy though, very different.
They both have blonde hair.
I think that's about as far as I can. I mean, I'm not sure I know what this person is talking about, but I think Vanessa's a much better player than Sarah was.
Okay. I don't think that people will fight you too much on that, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. This is from Country Fried Diva, a crying montage. That pretty much sums up this season, right? Do you think a crying montage is the perfect way to summarize Big Brother 17, or is there a better way that you could have summarized Big Brother 17?
I feel like the better way might have been this person told me that this person said this. Should we go get this person? Should we call a house meeting? I feel like the crying sums up Big Brother 8 a little better than it sums up Big Brother 17.
Fair enough. Yeah. Could we have gotten like a montage of like all the times that Vanessa said like a reason? We could have come in.
Reasons and incentives. Empirical evidence. I feel like that was what this summer was all about.
I think so. That would have been good. All right, so also from Country Fied Diva, let's talk safety. Does production minimize risk and challenges? Seems like someone could have fallen off the apple and hit their head. Taryn, did that seem dangerous to you? What was what was the most dangerous challenge this season?
This season, oh, wow. Maybe OTEF?
Yeah, that's fair.
And Becky's toe too. That was a pretty dangerous one.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, the ground was pretty padded, or they would otherwise fall into some water. I think it seems pretty safe, but you know, something always bad could happen.
Yeah. It seems like that one where Johnny Mac had to fight to get back into the house also seemed kind of dangerous. It seemed like they were like hitting that hand pretty hard.
Yeah. Something I forgot to mention. I don't know if I did that episode. The sound designer for that competition, if you go back and watch it, they were very lazy. They used the exact same sound effect for somebody hitting that hand every single time somebody hit it. So it was the same amount of intensity no matter what. It was really funny.
Okay. It's spoken like a true editor.
Yeah.
Picked up on that. We'll have to go back and watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody maybe, also posted only, on the Big Brother Reddit recently about, I saw a link to, did you watch the opening credits without the music? Did you ever see that?
No, I didn't.
It's really creepy. It's the opening credits without like the music track. It's really disturbing. You should watch that.
Okay.
This is from Justin Brizantine. Tonight's episode reminded me of how fun and dynamic the first 6 weeks of the game were on TV and on the feeds. I say it every year. The Big Brother starts with a bang and ends with a whimper. And I feel like the Survivor season goes the opposite way. Now, again, this is a little bit of a different season coming up because we know who all these people are. But I think at the beginning of the Survivor season, we're like, there's too many people. Who are all these people? We don't really care that much about who went home. And then it turns into, by the end, it gets more intense. But really, I do think that the Big Brother season starts to, you know, there's a lot of fatigue by the time you get to the end.
Yeah, I feel like Survivor, like the first episode is really usually pretty good. And then the merge, and then, you know, getting down to the end, it kind of has like three high points.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Brother, it always starts crazy and then kind of slowly goes down. Then it usually picks up a little bit at the halfway mark and then just all the way downhill from there, except for Final Four. The Final Four is usually pretty interesting because of that veto.
Yeah, just those last couple days, it really drags.
Yeah, I really think they should adjust the schedule so that they really shorten the ending even more than they already do. But, you know, they like to stretch it out because, you know, I mean, it's good that they want to stretch it out because it means they like the show and they like having the show on. So,
yeah.
What are you going
to
do?
Let's go to Duke Silver, who says, watching this recap just reminds me of how annoying Vanessa has been since day one. Oh, how dare you, Duke? How dare you? Now, Vanessa is a very polarizing figure because, you know, I don't think that we've been particularly hard or easy on Vanessa. I feel like that we've been pretty down the middle on Vanessa, but I hear from people that are huge Vanessa supporters that, you know, why aren't we more excited about Vanessa? And then you get comments like this about, I hated Vanessa since day one and she's so annoying. Where do you think the bulk of the Big Brother viewing audience is?
I feel like the bulk of them are probably with us. They feel like Vanessa's played really well, but they're not, you know, probably not the most excited about seeing her on the screen because she's not very electric in the diary room. She does cause some drama in the house. It's pretty lukewarm, I think. I think now that she's gotten to the end, she's gotten a bit of that mastermind edit. People are really kind of jumping on board saying, yeah, Vanessa's playing super well now. They're probably rooting for her. I feel like more people are rooting for Steve. But for the most part, I think we've been pretty, I think we've talked about her pretty fairly. And I think we're mostly on par with how most people see her.
I really feel like, especially if Vanessa wins, I do think that history will be written kindly about Vanessa. I think that we will talk about her as a really great winner of the show. And I think that probably you're going to slot her into a pretty high spot. We can get into that more on Wednesday night if it does happen. I think that people will really look back at her game as a extremely strong game that was played this summer. And if she doesn't win the game, I think she's still going to be talked about as a really great player of the game. So I do think that history will be on her side.
I agree. I think if she wins, they're probably going to gloss over some of the mistakes she made in the game. History will. And if she doesn't win, it'll probably be like, she got robbed, but she had some flaws. So I think either way, she's going to come out looking pretty favorable.
Okay. Let's go to Jeff Coaster, who says, so we're all voting on our favorite house guest. Who's your personal favorite house guest of the season, Rob? You know, I'm not going to endorse anybody because the juice is not worth the squeeze for me on that one. That is your personal preference. It's whatever you like. I don't think anybody should or necessarily would vote for the favorite house guest because I tell them to. I think that's up to you. It's your favorite house guest. Not mine.
I don't know how you feel about me endorsing somebody.
You can endorse somebody. Who are you voting for? You're not necessarily saying other people need to vote for them. You're just telling us who you are voting for and why.
I personally will vote for Johnny Mac. I relate to him the most. I think he was an entertaining player throughout. I think James was fun as well, but I relate to Johnny Mac more personally. And so that's why I'd vote for Johnny Mac.
You can make the case for any of these people in terms of why they should get it. And, I wouldn't have any issue with Johnny Mac being the person who won that. I think he could certainly argue about how, you know, at least he went far into the show. He did some things. He went further than some other people. But I think you can make a case for James as well in terms of he provided a lot of entertainment, whatever you want to do. It's your call.
Yeah, I really think it's going to come down to James or Johnny Mac. And I don't think anybody knows which way it's going to go.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. Are there any prop bets in Vegas?
I don't know. I mean, some people pointed out that Johnny Mac's fan page on Twitter has a lot more followers than James's. However, Zach's from last season had more followers than Donnie, so that's not necessarily representative of anything.
Okay. Has Frankie Grande come out and supported anybody?
I don't think so. I think that's a sore subject.
Yeah, who is it? Johnny Mac or James? Who wants it? Okay. All right, Scranton Analytics wants to know, now that the season is basically over, what will you guys remember most about this season? All right, cut up a piece of French toast. Tell me what, Taryn, when you think back about Big Brother 17, what will you remember the most? What's the one thing?
You know, I don't know if there were any, you know, unique kind of memorable moments in the season. It was more of kind of like a slow, steady, march to the end for Vanessa. There were definitely some hiccups along the way. Maybe when the Battle of the Block ended and James took power and it was the fall of Kaleli, that was probably one of the more exciting times. But I, for the most part, I think we're all going to remember this as Vanessa's season that either Steve kind of, you know, swept out from under her or that she, took it all the way to the end.
Yeah, that either she butt fumbled all the way or she brought it home.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, there were definitely moments that really, and again, most of them were probably in the first half of the season that were really like, oh my God, you got to be watching the feeds. I mean, specifically, you know, so many of the Audrey moments from the first couple of weeks of the show. But then when Vanessa was going to put Austin up on the block, like that 2 or 3 days of it ultimately ended up in Jason going home, to when it was Vanessa and Shelly that were up on the block, to Vanessa like turning it all around. There were definitely moments, and probably the one most recently was after the final six veto competition where Vanessa told Julia to put Austin up against her to go in. And then after that, then Liz and Austin broke up at one point. So there definitely were, you know, moments, even, you know, coming down to just like 2 or 3 weeks ago that were, you know, very memorable moments.
Yeah, that's a good call. I forgot about the Vanessa getting Julia to pick Austin the veto. I feel like that's a moment where a lot of people kind of jumped on board with Vanessa. A lot of people who watched the show, because it was just, they felt it was so impressive, you know?
Yeah. It's been a wild ride. Let's go to Gregory, who says, is there any possible way Liz can win the game?
Sure. I definitely, she probably has a better chance against Steve. Granted, we don't know how bitter the jury is going to be.
Can you give me a percentage number?
130%.
Is it 130%?
I think she has maybe like a 20% chance.
20%. That's higher than I would have thought.
Because, you know, I feel like Vanessa is almost definitely going to make an argument to Steve that if you cut me and take Liz to the final two, then I'm not going to vote for you. So if she does that and stays true to it, she's already got, you know, three votes.
Yeah, Vanessa, Austin, Julia.
Yeah, and then from there, she only needs two more. If maybe the goblins are still with, they thought Austin was playing the best
Jackie
game.
Jackie could be anti-Steve.
Yeah, and Meg and James thought Austin was playing the best game. Maybe that transfers to Liz. Maybe they still respect Austin's opinion, and they say, and Austin spins them a story about how Liz was really the master behind him. So you know, there's always a chance. The juries can be very unpredictable.
And Austin is like, look, it's pretty much a done deal. I'm going to be on Bold and the Beautiful with Liz. And if you guys want to be on it too, then you need to vote. You need to vote for Liz.
Yeah.
I'll put in a good word for you at Bold and the Beautiful. Like, okay, sure. Okay. Let's go to ID Institute. Was the cast really as horrible as Les Moonves and Julie claimed it was? What do you think about this?
I don't think so. I don't think there were really any, you know, big disappointments in the cast for me, at least. You know, usually there's a lot more. And I feel like a lot of the people that usually would be disappointments, like maybe like a Liz, kind of did play the game in to some extent. And, you know, became some kind of character that was entertaining. And even though we lost a lot of good ones early on, like Audrey and Jason, they still, you know, contributed a lot while they were there. And, you know, even Jackie and Becky eventually started contributing. The people we thought weren't there at all to be entertaining eventually contributed something. I feel like almost everyone contributed something to the season, and it turned out to be a good season because of it.
I don't think it was so much that the actual cast members themselves were disappointing. I think that there were moments where you wanted them to pull the trigger on things and they did not, like when Vanessa is up on the block against Shelley and you had people like Meg and James and whoever else was there at that point in time deciding to keep Vanessa in the house. And so I think it was frustrating that it seemed like there were big moves to be made at certain points and there was not resistance that was put up. I really feel like there were moments where you could have had this great battle between the one side of the house, which was the Sixth Sense, and then the After Dark crew on the other side of the house, and the After Dark crew just could never get their act together. And it's not necessarily that they were bad characters, but in terms of game players, they just never were able to see the big picture.
That's true. And I do think they weren't very good. And I feel like Vanessa was definitely a part of keeping them not good. But at the same time, to be fair to them, a lot of it came down to competitions. And really, this season, one side of the house completely dominated the competitions. Like, it was what? The other side of the house won a total of 3 mm-hmm. HOHs the whole season. That's nuts. You know, there's almost no scenario where that happens where it's not going to be a complete obliteration of one side.
Okay. Let's go to Gregory McBean. Is it a coincidence the final 3 in this game all went in the house in the second group of house guests, or is there a reason for that? So this is an interesting question because they've talked about this. It's not even just like the final 3. I want to say that most of the people from the final 6, they were all not in the house that first night. Is that correct?
I think so. I think Austin was in the first night.
Okay.
But he did get excluded from the...
What about Judas? Was Judas in the first night?
No, Judas was secretly the second nighter.
Okay, good. So interesting. Now, was that more a product of that they were all banded together for being there the second night, or is it a coincidence?
I think it was actually the opposite. I think the people that were there the first night bonded, and that was kind of what formed that original 8-person alliance that Audrey was involved with James and Jason and Jeff and all them. And it was discovering that alliance, Vanessa discovering that alliance more specifically, that ultimately caused the downfall of almost every single one of them, because Vanessa secretly formed a counter alliance that they weren't aware of and then just completely ruled over all of them.
Okay. So it happens. So we got to watch out for the second night counter alliance. That's
yeah,
the thing.
If you're going to make a big alliance, like, don't just like hang out and let it kind of dissipate. You need to be strict with that stuff because somebody's going to find out that you have that 8-person alliance, somebody that's not involved, and they're going to be like, I don't care if you say that it's not, you know, super relevant to you right now. It's still there and it's a threat to me and I'm going to go after it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really what the frustration was for me with this Sixth Sense alliance, that they made the Sixth Sense, but then the other side of the house never got their act together and said, hey, they've got an alliance. We need to have our own alliance. They were all just like, you know, different versions of it. Well, can we be in your alliance? and and like trying to work with that side as opposed to standing up for themselves and getting their own act together.
But, yeah, I feel like a big part of that was Jason going out.
Mm-hmm. No, it was a good move. It was a good move in hindsight. Spicy Wasabi says, what could Vanessa possibly say to Steve to guarantee that Steve would take her to the final two?
I think her only argument is, like I said, tell Steve, if you cut me in favor of Liz, I will not vote for you. I'll vote for Liz. Then you know that Liz has 3 guaranteed votes. She only needs 2 more. If you take me, you know that Austin just told me that I can't win the game. You know I'm not getting Austin, Liz, or Julia. You know I'm not getting 3 votes. So you know you guaranteed have 3 votes against me. So why take somebody who has a guaranteed 3 votes against you when you can take me and you have 3 guaranteed votes against me?
Okay. Makes sense. Let's do one more question. Let's talk live feeds. Diamond Thompson wants to know, after seeing Austin's reaction to being evicted, do you think it could potentially cost Vanessa the win? He believes that he has the votes to cost her the game. Do you think that Austin is a threat to poison the jury?
My read on the situation is no, he is not.
I don't think so.
I do think that Megan James were influenced by him in the house, and I think they had a higher opinion of him than game wise than maybe he deserved. But I feel like once they go into that house and they're with people like Shelly and Becky, maybe not Becky as much, but definitely Shelly and Jackie. I feel like Shelly and Jackie are not having any of what Austin is selling. You know, they're definitely not going to appreciate Austin saying you can't win the game, implying that he already controls the whole jury house.
One of the questions I wish we asked Johnny Mac was, would Johnny Mac vote for Vanessa to win the game? What do you think he would? And tell me, against either Liz or Steve, what do you think Johnny Mac would do?
Against Liz, he would definitely vote for Vanessa. Against Steve, I think he knows that Vanessa played better. And I think I saw in one of his exit interviews, he said, it would be hard to choose. I'd either vote for the best player or I would not. That's pretty much exactly what I'd expect.
Typical Johnny Mac. Okay, so we'll see. That I think that's an interesting vote on when we get to a Wednesday night, because I think that a lot of the other people, I think you have a good sense of where their heads are at, but Johnny Mac is the one person who really could go either way, and it wouldn't surprise you either way.
Yeah, and I do think regardless of Johnny Mac's vote, he's going to be good for Vanessa in that jury house, because he's somebody that's been onto her game the whole time, and he's going to be able to explain, like, no, Vanessa has been playing really well. Don't believe what Austin's telling you. I wanted to get her out. She was the biggest threat the whole time. Even if I might not vote for her, I know she's the best player.
Okay, let's get into talking about the spoilers. For the last time, here we go, at least on a Sunday night, let's talk the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes, all right. To shake out all of the spoilers that are left. There's only a couple left in this thing. Okay. Taryn, we talked about in at least the update that I did with Alex during the week, where we talked about Johnny Mac's exit interview. We talked about at least part one of the final competition where Vanessa won the endurance leg of the competition. What about part two?
Steve won over Liz.
Okay. What was the competition?
It was some sort of puzzle thing. It was a timed thing, and I believe Steve had like 28 minutes and something, and Liz had 31 minutes and something. So it was pretty close, and Steve was kind of like, oh man, I really should have beat her better than I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now the stage is set, Vanessa versus Steve this coming Wednesday night. And so what is the politicking like at this point?
Not much. Yeah. Vanessa still is under the assumption that Steve is probably going to take her to final two, and she could not be more wrong. Steve has said multiple times on the feeds, I'm 100% not taking Vanessa to the final two. I think she's Derek. I've been her Cody this whole season, okay, and I'm not going to make the same mistake. And he plans on saying this in his final two speech, or at least in his speech when he evicts Vanessa. That she's the best female player to have played the game, and he's getting her out.
Is that going
to
offend Meg?
Probably.
the hell?
Yeah.
Vanessa definitely needs to be making more of a case to Steve, because, like I said, she has something to say to him that might be able to sway him. I don't think he will be swayed at this point, but she should be trying at this point.
Scary proposition. I mean, basically, we're saying that Vanessa, it's 95 days of really going all out and playing as hard as she can. Don't say too hard.
Like, you're literally telling me I'm playing the game too hard? Like, oh my God.
Just the right amount of hard so far, Vanessa. But that being said, I mean, she's really like a coin flip away from losing the game, right?
Absolutely. And you know, I've been saying all season long that I thought Vanessa was the best player. Steve has always been my second best player. And part of that was because he knew that being with Vanessa was good for his game, but he never trusted Vanessa. And this is exactly the moment. I mean, I would have liked him to cut her a little bit sooner than this, but he didn't have the opportunity. So, I always said Steve's game was keep Vanessa along until about final five, cut her then, and then you probably have the best shot at that point. It's final three now. He definitely needs to get rid of her. But, you know, Eric Stein said on this podcast, Steve is the player. He is going to be the downfall of somebody in this house. And it could be Vanessa. And, you know, it would be poetic in a way.
What do you think the narrative will be come Thursday morning if Steve is the winner? Like, what will the story, what is the story of Steve in the Big Brother house? Will he be regarded as the person who is the conquering hero? Will it be much more Vanessa should have won and sort of like a Natalie White, Russell Hance type thing? What do you think how people in general will receive a Steve win potentially?
I think it'll be kind of like John, Big Brother Canada 2. But Steve isn't quite as likable as John. So, you know, a less favorable response, but still kind of similar strategy wise.
Cause I'm sorry I brought up the Natalie White thing, because it's a little bit of a different scenario, because that he would be at that point, not beating the person in the final two, but taking them out, and not so much that the jury was mad at that other person and that's why he won. It would be that he took that person out at the final three.
And I think that's a much more impressive win, because you have a lot more control over who you take to the final two than what the jury is going to vote. Like, did this person piss enough people off? Like, how are you ever supposed to guess that in a million years? You know, being able to recognize that Liz is the better person to take and not being manipulated by Vanessa like most other people in the house this whole season, I think is much more impressive than getting there because, you know, like some people have. And getting there and the jury deciding that they're too mad at Vanessa and you win by default.
Hey, let's take some more questions. Let's go to Frank Williams. Is Vanessa a top five player of all time if she wins, in your opinion? A little early for that, but
I'm probably going to say no, but close.
Close.
Maybe six.
Six.
Maybe.
Zingbot's Ghost wants to say, since Vanessa is giving a 1,000% effort in the HOH competition, it was Liz and Steve's mistake not giving 1,030%. So that's a good point.
130%.
1,030%.
You know, Liz was on point when she was saying 130%, and she wasn't on point during the HOH competition. So she forgot to add that extra 30.
Sorry, Liz. Oh my God. Terry Lynn wants to say, is this true? At 5:58 p.m., Liz asked Steve who was evicted fourth last season. Brittany? Neither liked her. Liz asked Steve why he didn't like her. Steve says she was found at a bar 2 weeks before she went to prison. Then fish.
Is that
true? Did that happen, Taryn?
It wouldn't surprise me. But I didn't personally see it. So
they found her 2 weeks.
He has talked about Brittany like that before, just not also saying that she was evicted in Final Four. That doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, maybe she was evicted the fourth person out of the season.
That's probably what he's saying.
Yeah. All right. Brent Showerman, what non-jury player do you think would have the best shot at winning a second chance season? Ooh.
Non-jury, I'd say probably Jason.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think that if he could make the adjustment and just sort of not spout off too much, I think that he could definitely do something.
Yeah, and I think he's definitely somebody that would learn from what he did in the Big Brother house. And being such a big fan, he knows how to apply that knowledge.
Okay, let's take another question. This is from Robert Smith. Can Steve win against Liz? Where do the goblins vote? Is Jackie bitter against Steve? So we talked about Steve versus Liz. He could win. It's possible.
I think he has a much better chance against Liz than he does against Vanessa. I don't think Jackie's bitter. I remember in the first jury segment, we had Jackie kind of saying like, oh, Steve, but at the same time, like, you know, what are you going to do? I don't blame him for it. And I think being in the house with Shelly for so long, just the two of them, I feel like Shelly was angry at some people, but it seems like she's not going to be a bitter juror. So that probably had an effect on her as well.
Give me the percentage breakdown of Steve versus Liz.
Like,
if they're like, in the final two, what's the percentage that Steve's going to win?
80%.
80. I think. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then is there any chance if it's Liz versus Vanessa, is it 130% that Vanessa is going to win?
I don't think it's 100% or 130%. I think there's definitely a chance. You know, I mean, in Big Brother 14, going by the jury segments that we got in the edits, you would have probably said Dan probably has a decent shot at winning this, even though if you watched the feeds, you would have known there was never any chance they were ever going to vote for a winner. And so those edits that we see, Shelly could be arguing Vanessa's case and at the same time still won't vote for her. You know what I mean? It could go, you can never predict it, even seeing all the information we do.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Alexandra W. Wouldn't it have been better if they showed parts 1 and 2 of the final HOH this episode and gave longer questioning period on Wednesday?
Absolutely. More. We need a longer jury questioning segment. We need it to happen days before the vote because nobody ever changes their mind, you know, 5 minutes before they've cast their vote.
Yeah, it just seems like they have nothing on this episode. And then they try to jam a lot of stuff into the finale. And I feel like there's a lot of stuff they don't really do. They don't really talk to the pre-jury people for more than 2 minutes. They barely talk to the people from the jury. They cut down the questioning. I don't know why they need all these competitions in that finale show.
Yeah, and I feel like Big Brother fans have always wanted some sort of reunion. You know, since Big Brother 4, they haven't watched, the jury hasn't been able to watch any of the show, so we don't get any of that either. Like, there's so much we want to see that's just not there, and there's so much that's packed into the finale episode, and yet so much of it is usually really boring. You're just kind of like, get to the vote reveal already.
Oh, okay, one last question. This is from Kelly, who says, who do you think will be the most upset about their TV edit? Austin with the smelly cheater edit or Vanessa with her crying, since they both talk about how much they care about what is thought about them? Who do you think is going to have a harder time with the show, Vanessa or Austin?
I think Austin will.
What about Judas?
Judas will probably have a harder time with it. although Judas will be the one that's like, I knew this was going to happen. I knew I was going to do this show.
It was good. We wanted to do it. No, I told you this was bad.
I told you not to trust these people.
I told you. Yeah, see, this is why I didn't say anything in the diary room. Okay, I agree. I think that Austin's going to have a harder time than Vanessa. We'll see. But we'll have to wait for Vanessa's ebook to tell us how it's all going to go.
Yeah.
All right. So, Taryn, that's going to be it for the Sunday night recap show. Hopefully, I get confirmation on another Big Brother podcast that I'm working on tracking down for you guys potentially for Tuesday. If that happens, I will let you guys know on Twitter. At Rob Cisternino is my Twitter name. At Armstrong Taryn is how you get a hold of Taryn on Twitter. And then come hell or high water, 12:30 p.m., 12:30 a.m., actually Thursday morning, we will be discussing the Big Brother finale, 9:30 p.m. Pacific. We'll be live here on robinswebsite.com, and then also we'll have interviews with the final three coming up on Thursday. So a lot going on there with Big Brother. I'm also going to have for you, I talked with Angie Kontz, a great friend of the podcast. I talked about her 20 character types for Survivor Cambodia. I'm going to post that podcast tonight as well, so you'll have that for Monday. And then we'll get into all of the Survivor. We got one more Survivor show coming up. We're going to rank the top 30 seasons that you guys have been voting on. If you're watching this on Sunday night, you could vote until midnight Eastern. robiswebsite.com/season rank. And then we'll get into Survivor Know-It-Alls. We'll talk to the first person kicked off of Survivor on Thursday. And then we'll do our Survivor Big Recap show with Jenna Lewis from Survivor Borneo. Is going to be talking about her friend Kelly Wigglesworth competing on this season. And on Friday, we will kick off The Amazing Race. So is that enough for you, Taryn?
It's not enough. I want more.
More? You want? All right. We'll see what else we can do.
No, very exciting.
The big week, big, big week as we, two ships passing in the night as Big Brother comes to an end and Survivor and The Amazing Race kick off for the fall. So very excited for that. Have a great night, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. Take care.